Hey, I'm Del Shores.
And I'm Emerson Collins, and you're watching The Del and Emerson Show.
Straight talk.
Real guy. Hi, everybody.
I wasn't quite ready. I was trying to find my frame.
Oh, so many things that's so hard. These at-home studios, like, you got to get hair and makeup off camera. You got to get the lights fixed.
Hair and makeup. Oh, my God. Speaking of lights, look at me. I'm just so not prepared, Emerson. I don't have my ring light on.
It's dramatically different.
Light on Del Shore's face.
To all of you that were already here, I'm so sorry that he was not prepared. You know, I am committed to this endeavor.
Well, wait till you hear me read these stories.
It'll just get even better, y'all. Okay, first of all, hello, welcome. Whether you're watching us on the Facebook, the YouTube, on Periscope, on Twitter, we're glad you're here. Share the broadcast with your friends. Tell them to tune in. Don't hide us like your dirty little secret in the corner of the internet. But when we should start with it, because it's most important. We're not having a guest today. We're continuing the We Are Enough theme because we are deep in the midst of the throes of preparing for our hashtag sorted live stream on Sunday.
Yes, and it's been so much work. You thought I was going to say fun, right?
I knew you were going to say work.
It has been fun, but it has been work. And I know you know it's been work. And, you know, it's like I actually love doing press. But there is, you know, it is a little bit of work. It's not like digging a ditch or anything, but, you know, we are so fortunate and we're so thankful to so many press outlets who have given us interviews. I've been having a good time talking to some new folks.
Yeah, so, it's very exciting. And the auction is getting closer and closer to being ready to go live.
Yes, I just got an email right before we went on the air from Nicole over at our auction house. I should say our auction house, charitybuzz.com. And she said that they would have everything for us to approve this afternoon. So Rebecca and I are going to FaceTime. We're going to approve everything, make a few changes, and then hopefully it'll go live tomorrow. I hope it's tomorrow. Because
very exciting.
Are clamoring, Emerson. They are clamoring. I get emails daily asking me, when's that chicken going on sale?
I know. I was very excited at the hashtag sorted live stream coming up with that. It's very cute. But I almost want the auction. I was like, hashtag sorted shit. Just all the sorted shit.
That would be good. You can't trend with on Twitter. I've noticed you can't When there was like shit countries or whatever that.
Yeah, I don't think Twitter lets profanity in the hashtags. Yeah, in the trending topics.
Porn stars can just be fucking right on the Twitter page. So it's.
But they won't trend either. The only way porn ends up in your feed is if someone retweets it or you follow that person.
Oh, busted.
Jack said, picture is fuzzy today. His end or yours. It's ours. Delford broke his Ethernet cable.
I'm really sorry. I did. I broke my Ethernet cable this morning. I will have it back on Friday. But
don't be sorry. It's just that Lucille Ball gauze filter, like from Maine. You know, just soft focus.
I prefer Sybil Shepherd from Moonlighting. Are you too young for Moonlighting? Did you watch Moonlighting?
I didn't watch it. No.
It was just so. Apparent, they would cut to Bruce Willis and he would be crystal clear, and then they would cut to Sybil Shepherd and she'd look like what most of you are seeing me. Is everybody seeing me all fuzzy? I know I'm going to be paranoid that I'm all fuzzy.
You'll be fine. Michael asked, will the show be on replay? Well, the comment, sorry. Yes, the show will be on replay is the answer. You can always watch these on YouTube on my channel, and they stay up on Del's Facebook page and my Facebook page. You can watch them anytime. Shall we discuss some things?
We shall. Lead the way, Emerson.
So the Friday night RuPaul's Drag Race Zoom reunion. What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was very well produced. They're getting really good at these Zoom things.
After like 5 minutes, I forgot they weren't all there together. I thought it was so well edited. I mean, those editors did a lot of work recording all 12 of those individual feeds and then placing them into that overlay. Like, they weren't doing it the way we were, switching, you know, the live stuff. They clearly recorded everyone separately and then edited it together. And I thought they did a great job.
Well, that's what I don't like about Zoom. I know it wasn't meant for what a lot of us are using it for, but, you know, I've been teaching on Zoom, and I see people somewhere, and then I say, oh, well, Charlotte is in the center square, and they go, no, Charlotte's in my left-hand corner.
Yeah, Zoom. It's not the same. The layout isn't the same for everybody.
Yeah.
But I thought it was very cute. They did a good job, and I'm real curious to see how they're going to deal with this finale on Friday night, with like lip syncing competitions and what they're going to do.
Well, The Voice did it. And, you know, at first it depressed me, but I have to say that they got very creative with the way they were performing. So I can't imagine that Drag Race won't do a good job. I'm excited. No, okay. So let's talk some shit. Who are you vying for? How's that?
Jada. Jada Essence Hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's an easy choice for me. Now that Jackie's gone, Jada is the easy. I think they're all great. I loved this whole season. I liked just about everybody. I would go see a show of just about everybody. But Jada's my clear winner. She's just a flawless presentation queen, surprisingly hilarious, a little bit of a bitch, and she knows it and owns it. Yeah.
Yeah, I like her confidence. I think she's got... And I have to say, even though there were a couple of times where, you know, she didn't deliver as much as she did, let's say, the previous week, I think she was the most consistent.
Yeah. I mean, I think Gigi was pretty dang consistent too.
Well, right at the end, she started dipping down and losing her confidence. Gigi's so gorgeous. I just think Gigi's amazing. I want to miss Heidi in closet. She's keeping that name.
Yes. Good for her. I'm not changing my name because you don't like it, RuPaul. That's ridiculous.
He said, that's a mistake. I don't think it's a mistake. I think that, you know, her fans said, keep it, Heidi in closet.
It's like when Enrique Iglesias got rid of that mole. It was like, you're already famous. We've seen it. It's fine. Just be you.
Oh, I was for that mole going away.
Jennifer Grey when she got the nose job.
Who?
Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing. She got that nose job and everyone was like, who is that?
Yeah, that one was a little bit, but Iverson, let's go back to that. You just compared Heidi and Closet's name to Enrique Iglesias' mole.
Yeah,
a valid comparison.
I think so. Once you're already famous, what's the point of changing stuff? Yeah. Like, it's like you get the work done so you can get famous. Once you're already famous, why? Who cares?
Well, maintenance. It's like this. So, all right. Okay. So, anything else about any surprise that you had in the Zoom?
No, that's thing? Good. I don't have anything else about Drag Race.
You're done. You're done. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that we can talk about it. When we did the show before, those of you who do not know, I was not a Drag Race. I didn't watch it. So Emerson would just do these soliloquies. He would just go. It was all.
I was like, look, this is important to the culture and people like to hear about it. And I'm going to talk about it. And he would go, uh-huh. Okay. Next.
I can't remember what made me go. I think when they switched to VH1, I said, okay, I'm gonna watch. So
Serena said Katy Perry told a contestant on Idol to change her last name too. Once you're on TV, it's too late. It's too late.
I want to know what that person's name was that Katy Perry said, change your name. She's, by the way, I don't watch American Idol. I tried to watch it. I was huge Idol. That was my show. I mean, all the first 10 seasons, I suppose. But Katy Perry is just kind of weird. Don't you think she's kind of an odd? She's odd. There's odd energy there. And I like weird, but it's weird.
I don't watch Idol with her, so I only know her from the songs I like to sing in my car.
I love her music. I love it. I love to spin to her music. I did it today. So, all right, moving on from Drag Race, let's talk about how was your Memorial Day?
It was fine. We spent the whole day shooting a skit. Scott Nevins is doing a big fundraiser here in Palm Springs for the Desert AIDS Project, and he's hosting it. And he's got all these big people singing, Kristen Chenoweth and Matthew Morrison, and I forget, and Betty Buckley. And he asked me and Blake to be in a skit with him. So we spent yesterday shooting that to hopefully, if it ends up good enough, it will open the broadcast here in Palm Springs after ours. So we'll bring the boys on and they can tell us about that later.
Was it just
It was a working holiday.
Was it hilarious?
No, it's amusing.
I heard that it was really hot down in Palm Springs.
It is. It's like getting up to 112 this week. Now we become those old ladies talking about the weather.
Well, it's warm here too, but not like that. So
109 right now.
Well, at least we're not talking about bowel movements or our medicine. I mean,
honestly, bowel movements is far more entertaining than the weather. The did you worked all day yesterday, didn't you?
Well, you know what? I went over and I had a little social distance visit with Newell and Rosemary. I love going. They have this nice, you know, you've been to their patio. And Rosemary is so great. She sprays the gate. She sprays all the chairs. You know, I walk in with a mask. I sit. I bring my own drink. And we just talked and jawed and had such a good time. And then I came back and I did work a little bit. I got all these auction items all. What happened?
Nothing.
Suddenly, like a Zoom meeting came in front of my face and I was like, oh no, I've crashed. So I'm still here? Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. So anyway, that was that. I mean, you know, and then I finished watching. Oh, Emerson, you know, you told me to Google and all that. You were very rude to me about how I could find on pop TV.
Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I did find it, but I didn't Google. Erica Kopich gave me some good instructions, and finally I figured out that I actually have pop TV on my Spectrum account.
I see. Interesting.
And I watched the whole thing. I watched the last season. I mean, the last season I've watched in 2 days. So I finished that, and I wept. I wept a little bit. Like Jesus,
emotional
Jesus wept.
How was Memorial Day for everybody else? Did y'all do fun things? Were people, Victor said we were invaded by Texans not wearing masks. I will say I had to go to the Ralphs yesterday to get my weekly things, and everybody had on masks except this one couple walking in, and I just watched them like, you're just garbage. Like, this is not hard. It's literally the least you can do. And then I saw a video of some grocery store in Long Island where the customers, not the employees, the customers literally shouted a woman out of the store who didn't have on a mask. And I was like, I should have done that at the Ralphs.
I feel like I'm going to. Yes, I went to Ralphs too yesterday. Now we're talking about our grocery shopping. And some guy was walking around like this. This is the way he was wearing his mask. So, but it wasn't as bad. I mean, did you, y'all, Alabama people, or do we have Alabama people in the house? Y'all, that CNN report on the Alabama folks down at the Gulf Shores, oh my God, interviewing one redneck after another, just arrogant about, you know, not conforming to anything. And it's what they don't get. Here's what they don't get. They don't get that it's not about them, right?
Yeah.
It's not. It's about you being respectful to somebody else as you spit. And you know, there are a lot of loud talkers, too. And loud.
I mean, in the South, there's a lot of spittle that happens when Southerners get to telling a story. Well, that's like those photos from the Lake of the Ozarks, which, first of all, have you watched Ozark on Netflix? It's real dark.
I watched some of the first season, and I want to return to it, but I'm not sure it's the right show to watch during a pandemic.
Why? It's just about money laundering and drugs in Appalachia.
I've been trying to keep up. I get so depressed, and I just feel like I just feel like I need comedy.
Right. The point wasn't the review of the show. It was like, but the Lake of the Ozarks. I've never even heard of it until that TV show. And now suddenly it's all in the news because people are dumb. Harry said Alabama has no ICU beds and no one wears a mask. We apologize to the rest of the country. Harry, we're from the South too. You don't have to own every stupid person where you're from. Leanne said, try being from Kentucky.
Oh, I love Leanne. We talk on my Facebook. It's going to be interesting in 2 weeks what's going to happen after everybody just decided to get together in a pool, go to the beach, touch each other, breathe on each other, hug each other, go to your essential synagogue and your essential church and your essential. That is not essential.
No.
Worshiping is not essential. You can worship at home.
When that fight was happening last week about Trump, I tweeted, I said, you know, somewhere there is some pastor who's so excited to start his sermon against social distancing saying, the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be also. And it does not say 6 feet apart.
Yes. But that's the point. Two or three. And now Trump is like he's threatening North Carolina. He just goes after it. Because it's a Democratic governor. It's because he's like, no, we will not do this. We will not have 400,000 people in one place if it's not safe.
If you're dumb enough to go to church, go with God. Bye.
Uh-oh. Now that's a... Oh, you mean now? I thought
now,
you
were- yes. Like if you're dumb enough and it's important enough to you to be in that brick and mortar building as though the Holy Spirit can't find you wherever you are.
So, all right. Enough. I was appalled. I had to finally turn it off though. I was going, No, I'm not watching these assholes.
All right. We've been rambling on. Let's skip that next one and save it for the end because that's a whole other long one and do some actual stories.
Okay. Go.
How's everybody? You know, if you're enjoying our broadcast, that ticker at the bottom, you can tip us on Venmo at Emerson Collins or on PayPal to beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com. Any little bit that you have to toss in our metaphorical offering plate is welcome.
The love offering. Do you remember love offerings?
Uh-huh. Love offerings and Lottie Moon. Yes.
It was like, oh, we're going to take a love offering from Brother Collins and Brother Shores. They drove a long way to bring us salvation.
Yep. Okay, actual LGBTQ news. Now, this is a story that's sort of in favor of a member of the Trump family, so don't say we don't say good things when they happen. Axios reports that Jared Kushner wants to radically overhaul the Republican Party platform, getting rid of all of the culture war items in favor of like 10 principles for the party. The last platform weighed in at 58 pages. He wants the entire platform to fit in a pocket-sized card. He wants to reduce to a mission statement instead of a laundry list of political positions. And conversion therapy was specifically mentioned as a topic that needed to go during a meeting with the campaign and White House staff. Now, the 2016 platform didn't explicitly endorse conversion therapy, but it did say, we support the right of parents to determine the proper medical treatment and therapy for their minor children. Now, this has been read as an endorsement of conversion therapy since bans usually only apply to minors. Now, good for you, Jared Kushner, sort of. But that said, he's not going to get this change. The whole point of the platform is they pay off a bunch of special interests to get their support by putting one sentence at a time in. And Lord knows Jared Kushner hadn't done anything. And he was supposed to solve the crisis in the Middle East. And he was trying to get advice for Corona but on Facebook from his father-in-law. So, you know, but a positive statement.
I still don't like him.
Well, no. Wait, hold on. This is too good. Kushner's intelligence fits in the size of a playing card. The accuracy.
Thank you, David. I love that. All right. Well, this is a good uplifting story. Captain Michelle Fitzsimmons has made history as the second woman and the first lesbian to become a battalion chief in New York City Fire Department. She is a knight.
Pause. Weren't you a little surprised the first woman wasn't a lesbian?
Okay. Emerson Collins. I hope that we do not get letters off. You are awful. yes. Okay. She's a 19-year-old veteran of the department and was promoted Thursday because the event followed social distancing rules. Her wife, Deanna, stayed in their car. As a battalion chief, Fitzsimmons will oversee several FDNY ladder and engine companies. She was the only woman in her graduating class at the academy. She said, "I was able to prove that I was capable of doing the job, which went a long way when it came to being accepted. It used to be a big thing. I would be stopped on the street by people who said that they had never seen a lady firefighter before." Fitzsimmons is past president of Fire Flag, the FDNY's LGBTQ organization, and worked at the HIV service organization GMHC for 8 years, the last three as coordinator of its lesbian AIDS project before joining the fire department. So she's been an activist as well. I love her. I love her.
I included this story just so I could make that joke.
Is well, good for you.
Because I read the story and I really did have
a good story. That's a really good story. And
of course it is. But I did when the second line of the story, it was like the second woman and first lesbian. And I was like, I'm a little surprised that first woman was not also a lesbian.
Well, maybe she was and she just wasn't saying
anything. Oh, no, she's definitely married. It was in the story. I just cut that out because that sounded interesting.
I see.
In my edit. All right. A quick little follow-up. Exciting. In Costa Rica, we discussed last week, it looked like marriage equality would become law by default, and it did. It went into effect this morning, and in the very early hours of this morning, at 12:01 a.m. local time, to be exact, Dorita Araya and Alexandra Cu Castillo were the first same-sex couple married, and it was broadcast on television and on Facebook. The women said, "With this ring, I join you in marriage. May this ring remind you that I am always by your side in energy and love." Both women said, "Si, excepto." I love that. Same thing. Si, lesbians. Let's get married the minute it's legal. Minute.
And in more lesbian news.
Just a lesbian. Look, you know, we do a lot of gay stuff. A lot of men stuff. You know,
I have to say, Emerson, we used to get the most horrible emails from gay guys from when I was working on Queer as Folk. If they thought the lesbian storyline was too much, they said they would get mad if we gave the lesbians too much screen time. So y'all, don't you start leaving our broadcast right now, because we're doing lesbian stories. They deserve airtime too.
Also, we're doing it for free, so we do what we want.
Last week, Trump visited, oh God, I love this story so much. I want to meet this woman, y'all. Wait, just wait. Do not leave. This is a good one. Last week, Trump visited a Ford plant in Michigan that had been retrofitted to produce ventilators and PPE. He refused to wear a mask in front of the media at the factory. Dana Nessel, Michigan's lesbian attorney general, was livid. She told Wolf Blitzer he was conveying the worst possible message, and here's what she said. "I am ashamed to have him be president of the United States of America. I hope that the voters of Michigan will remember this when November comes, that he didn't care enough about their safety. He didn't care about their welfare. He didn't respect them enough just to engage in the very simple task, the painless task, the easy task of wearing a mask when he was provided one. And I so hope that we'll have a new president soon enough who does respect people more than this president does." How about that performance? It was reported, that was a little more than a cold read, but that sounds pretty good. It was reported that he did wear one during the tour, but not in front of the press. God, I wish somebody would just take that cell phone out and snap one of him.
There was a picture that came out somewhere, and what's so stupid about this is he said to the media, basically, I don't want to give you the satisfaction. Like this, like it's a competition between him and them to like get this gotcha photo of him in a mask. Like, sir, this isn't trying to get a gotcha photo of your thumb dick that Stormy Daniels was telling us about looks so weird. This is you setting an example for the people in our country that, hey, if you've got to go about living your life, this is a super easy thing you can do to tell your neighbors, to protect yourself, to protect them, like that it's a loss for him if he's seen in the mask. And yet he did it to comply with the Governor Whitmer of Michigan, who she's a badass too's order that all plant people in the plants need to wear the mask. Like, what's the competition? It literally mentally doesn't make sense.
But I think he would look better with a mask.
Jared said Trump won't wear a mask because it'll rub off her foundation. Like, that's true. You know, when you get that, you got to be careful on your white shirts. You get that little ring around the collar.
The orange around the collar. So.
I love that. Okay, this next story I really, really loved. It made it to the blogs and stuff today, but I actually saw it a couple of minutes after it was posted. Cheyenne Jackson, and if you don't know who Cheyenne Jackson is, shame on you, but he's a Broadway star and TV star. And he posted a photo on Instagram this weekend with an extremely revealing and honest caption that I want to share with you all because it relates to our community, it relates to our industry. And so here is the photo. He had shaved all his head down and then he shaved the back and he showed this scar. And so this was the caption about the scars. He said, "I've been dreading this day for 17 years, the day when my horrible secret would be revealed. No, this gnarly scar across my head isn't from life-saving brain surgery, nor did I narrowly survive a shark attack. It's worse, at least in Hollywood. I had a hair transplant surgery, 5 of them to be exact, over 14 years. My inner monologue is, really, Cheyenne, with everything that's going on in the world, you're confessing that you had hair surgery? Get over yourself. I get it, but I'm omitting this really to release how much shame and anxiety I've had about people finding out for years. I started losing my hair at around 22. My older brother was balding, but was braver and cooler and just shaved his off. It was really emotional for me to watch it fall out, and I felt less attractive and truly less like myself as the days went on. So I saved up and got my first surgery at 28. I hid it from everyone. It was painful and expensive, but I started to feel better about myself. Over the years, as my hair kept thinning, I kept secretly getting more procedures and would just pray that no one would find out. Why? Why did I care so much? What does that say about me? Being a vain actor in an industry that rewards beauty, I vowed to keep this secret forever. I feel so stupid saying that, but it's my truth. As if someone finding out would somehow negate my talent or make me less viable or valuable in the world. At the beginning of every job, I'd secretly gather the hair and makeup people, dramatically close the door of the trailer, and make a big deal about revealing my devastating truth. Every single time. They basically said, yeah, so no one cared but me. I'm sharing because maybe this will inspire someone out there to share a secret they've been hiding or show a scar that they've been afraid of anyone seeing. Let it go. What I've learned during this pandemic is that shit like this just doesn't matter. I'm trying to teach my kids to accept themselves and to be proud of who they are and put value on things that are important and real. So as their father, the example should start with me. This is that. I'll go first. #Hashtag show your scars."
I read it.
I loved it.
Yeah, I kind of went down a rabbit hole after I read that one. He and his partner have been sort of confessing a lot, mental health issues and depression and exposing a lot. So I think sometimes it's important for us to say, hey, you know, this is me too. I have these issues too, you know.
Well, and someone that's as jaw-droppingly handsome and talented as he is to say, look, we all have our issues, we all deal with them. And then also the flip side, he's probably right. If at 22 he had lost all his hair, being a handsome leading man in the traditional classic movie star category, he might not have gotten the opportunities he's gotten. And that talks about like how our business works. So I just thought it was really lovely and honest for to be like, look, this is it. I'm embarrassed. I know it's silly, but this is why I've been embarrassed. And here we are.
It is good work, though, man. I never would have suspected.
You're going to pay for shit. Pay for the good shit.
I mean, it was. And he said, you're so right. I mean, God, those eyes and those lips of his. He's just such a beautiful man.
Yes.
He would look just fine with no hair. Okay. Emerson, you're going to be so proud of me. I actually, with this next story, I actually have a visual aid to, I just got a cameo request as we're talking.
That's awkward. I didn't.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm more popular than you are today.
That is accurate.
All right. A New Jersey woman, Myra Galvin-Linza Alexis, was arrested by federal authorities. I can't laugh in this story. It's not right to laugh. And a Houston police on Wednesday and was charged with the murder of her wife, Rebecca Galvin-Linza Alexis. Rebecca was found dead 9 days ago in a bedroom of their home, and the murder weapon was how do you say that word, Emerson? Cylindrical container. I had to look. I said, okay, I want to know what a cylindrical container used for the purpose of chilling wine. Well, y'all, I have one. I had one up in my cabinet. This is what it is. This is what she killed her wife with. So that is just like, that's some brutal shit.
That this is a really tragic story. And I included it because, you know, members of our community are crazy and commit murders and do things too. But I do have to say, you know, separate from that, if I get murdered, please don't let it be by something that people could snicker at.
I know. Well, you're not going to, Emerson. We're not going to let that happen.
Like, just use a good old sledgehammer or a knife or, you know, please don't murder me with a wine chiller.
Right?
I don't want the most interesting thing about my death to be the thing that did it.
It's like that. It's like when Lorena Bobbitt, you know, chopped off her husband's dick. I mean, you know, those kind of things, you just don't want that kind of press. You know?
You don't. It's just awkward. A sidebar, Jimmy said, I showed a quarantined friend Southern Baptist Sissies this last Memorial Day. We both laughed and cried. It gets to me every time. All of your acting and Del's writing is perfect match. Thank you, JD.
Do you know JD?
Yes. JD and I became friends from Periscope originally.
He's very handsome, JD. You're a very handsome man. That little picture that came up, I was like, wow. But thanks for the compliment. A lot of people are discovering Sissies and some of the other work during the pandemic. Oh, by the way, for some reason, Sorted Lives was off of Prime for a few days, and boy, did I hear about it. And it's back up. They got it back up today. So,
That cameo was Jason and Todd that they were talking about last week for his birthday. Todd asked, I might get one from Emerson too. Can you be the hitchhiker killer? Todd, I will do literally anything you want.
Oh, I did one already. This is a new one. I already did I already recorded that.
Did that one? Oh, good.
Yeah. And all the ones, just so you know, I mean, since we're talking about cameo, let's plug it. All of my cameos are going to the big event on May the 31st. So everything that is booked right now will go to the Del Shores Foundation to support these theaters.
And all of my cameos will go to pay my rent on the apartment in Los Angeles that I'm currently not in.
And
though I will say, for the entire month of June, I will donate a portion of all of my cameos from June to LGBT organizations for Pride Month.
Oh, I got that today too, but I wanted to wait till after the May 31st thing to do it, but I will do that as well. I love cameo, and it just feels like it's a little bit of like, you know, it's like, oh, it's fun, and I like doing it, so it's not always about the money. They give us a lot of opportunity with cameo to give back, so.
Yes. And we love it.
I realized also,
you know why people don't book our cameos as much as some people? Because we answer everybody everywhere. You know, we answer every DM, every message. We're so available. It's like Scott's doing cameos every other day because he didn't respond to anybody. So they're like, this is the way I can get a message from you.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, honestly, Emerson, if someone wrote me or DM'd me and said, would you give my husband a shout out for his birthday? Well, of course I will. But it's always nice to, and my cameo's $32. I wanted so bad it to be $32.09, but it's $32. They won't let you do $28.
Wait, we have to read this. See, this is my point. Tucker Mendoza, I had a tenant die with a McDonald's sandwich in his hand. I don't want a Mama Cass story about my life.
I'm surprised you know Mama Cass, Emerson. You're so young. Mama Cass.
Also, it's not true. That's an urban legend.
She did not choke on a ham sandwich?
No, there was a ham sandwich on the side table that was included in a police report describing the location.
So, okay, so she was eating and died, or had been eating. So, no.
At some point, but I have been eating today too.
Right. I'm looking to see. I guess I could. He died with a Red Bull in his hand.
Yeah. Okay, stories. An interesting, complicated story out of the Supreme Court. Last Thursday, they refused Idaho's request to block a gender confirmation surgery for an inmate while it considers whether to hear the state's appeal of the case as a whole. The court just issued a brief statement denying their request without giving a reason. This means that an appeals court ruling in favor of 31-year-old trans woman Adri Edmo will stand. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit ruled last year that denying her the surgery constituted cruel and unusual punishment. So the trial court said that she was entitled to the surgery, and a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit agreed, saying, it is no leap to conclude that Edmo's severe ongoing psychological distress and the high risk of self-castration and suicide she faces absent surgery constitute irreparable harm. Because she had attempted self-castration in the prison. So it's a very complicated and dark story about her journey. But the court has ruled that she can go ahead and receive the surgery while they continue to appeal her actual case while she's in the prison system.
Wow, that is serious shit.
I know, and if you want more information, like there's a lot of levels of what happened with that at each level. Research the story. It's harder to condense in this, but they did rule in favor of her being able to go ahead with the surgery, that denying it affects her psychologically to an extreme degree.
I don't know why I would like to know this, but I would. What is she in prison for? Do you know?
Sexually assaulting a 15-year-old boy.
Oh.
So, yeah. So it's a complicated, but as should be, why you are in prison doesn't relate to how you are treated while you are in prison. So this set of appeals is specifically about healthcare treatment as a prisoner,
right,
not about the journey of her in her actual court case through the levels of the court.
Okay. Wow.
You know, it's like we feed serial killers, you know.
Yeah. Well, all right. Some Diana Ross news.
See, I balanced. That was like dark and complicated. And now Diana Ross.
You don't know this, but I got in trouble, Emerson, when I was in a sophomore in high school. We had this history teacher named Mr. Hector Lopez, who talked like this. Today we're going to talk about Huey Long. Not Huey Long, he'd say Huey Long. I would draw Diana Ross in the Supremes. Now, I was not good, but I could somehow do the gowns and the hair. And one day he picks it up and he goes, what is this? I go, that's Diana Ross and the Supremes. I was obsessed with Diana Ross and the Supremes and later Diana Ross. So I love this story and thank you for giving me this story. I'm Coming Out, her most successful album, definitely a gay album, I mean, anthem. We have all, I'm coming. You can sing it better than me. It was recorded in 79. The song spoke directly to LGBTQ listeners who had declared their identities to the world. However, Ross, who immediately loved the lyrics, was not always aware that of the Coming Out Association. Co-writer and co-producer Nile Rodgers told New York Post she didn't understand that it was a gay thing and that was a person saying, I'm coming out of the closet. She did not get that. Rodgers explained that the track was inspired by a visit to Gigi's Barnum Room, a Manhattan transgender club. There he saw a group of Ross impersonators. He said, all of a sudden, a light bulb goes off in my head. I had to go outside and call Bernard from a telephone booth. I said, Bernard, please write down these words. I'm coming out. And then I explained the situation to him. Rogers said he ultimately convinced Ross to sing the track, saying, Diana, this song is going to be your coming out song. When we think of you as our Black Queen, and I even wrote a fanfare. I explained to her that it's just like when the president comes out and they play Hail to the Chief. That, by the way, those writers, they were the creators of Chic, the group Chic. Yeah, which I love.
I just find it hysterical that like she didn't know and didn't understand. That like it was inspired by Diana Ross drag queens. And here's this big song and she like didn't understand. That I'm coming out.
Well, you know what? I did a little more research on this story because, as you know, I fall down rabbit holes. And she said, for her, the meaning was she was leaving Motown Records and coming out from under Berry Gordy's thumb.
That sounds like a lovely, like, backwards. You know, like, oh, that sounds good to say after.
Well,
it's in Wikipedia. Do you remember that commercial from, like, I don't know if it was the late 80s or the early 90s. I think it was like a Nair commercial or some skin hair removal. And the belly buttons sang, I'm coming out.
No, I do not remember that.
Oh, it was like a horrible fever dream. Y'all, I'm sure it's on YouTube because it just went on forever. It was like all these women's cartoon torsos and the belly buttons were singing, I'm coming out, like for the summertime, like with all the hair removed. It was terrifying.
Okay, I want to know if anybody knows that. Is anybody remember this belly button commercial? Because and if you can find it, I want you to send it to me, delshores@me.com, because I would love to see that.
Like, that is my first memory of that song. Like, when I hear that song at Pride, at a dance floor, I see dancing, cartoon belly, like talking cartoon belly buttons.
Well,
somebody say that. I'm valid. Okay. Also, commercial break almost at the end of the show. If you're enjoying this broadcast, we do it for free. We do it for fun. It entertains us. We hope it entertains you. Thank you for those of you that share the broadcast. If you are financially well off and feel like you want to be able to support, you can Venmo us a tip, $1, $10, $20. Thank you, Victor, who already donated during the broadcast. You can Venmo at Emerson Collins or send a PayPal to beardcollinsshoresproductions@gmail.com.
And
if you can't, don't worry. We just love having you here.
And we love doing this. Last week, there were a lot of generous people in our audience, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
So thank you.
All right. This weekend, Pixar released their first, like, definitively official gay Pixar short. Appropriately entitled Out. It is directed and written by Stephen Clay Hunter and based on a true story. Out centers on Greg, a sort of lumber sexual looking guy, and his inability to come out to his parents about his relationship with Manuel. When Greg's parents surprise them on moving day, Greg tries to hide evidence of their relationship, and a magical intervention from some like gay rainbow space dog and cat. He and his dog has a magical collar, and they sort of Freaky Friday and switch bodies. And so we see him as a dog get to hear what his mother really thinks. And, you know, they all live happily ever after.
But I don't.
Notable, they released it on Harvey Milk Day on Friday.
That was, that part of the story, I have a feeling, was not the true part. The dog collar and the switching of bodies and the fairy god. Dog and the cat sidekick.
Correct. And so Greg, as a person with the dog inside him, is bouncing around like a dog the whole time. Now, you should all go watch this. It's available on Disney Plus at the least. But a thing happened in the short that was never addressed again, and I feel like we need to talk about it. So Greg has a dog inside him, and he's bouncing around. His dad is barbecuing in the backyard. And Greg, the person with a dog inside him, runs over and sniffs his dad's butt. and the dad shoos him away. But like, that doesn't come back up again. And I feel like we needed to talk about that. Like, dad needed to say, son, we know you're a homosexual, but that's a bridge too far.
I think that that was just about dog behavior, Emerson. I don't think you need to.
I know, but on the dad's side of the story, my son just sniffed my butthole.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. I hear you. That it would be awkward if even if anybody came up to me, you know, the guy without the mask over his nose yesterday, if he'd run up to me and sniffed my butt in Ralph's, I would have found that weird.
Yeah. But here's the thing. That's one of those things where it'd be weird, but it's like when people are annoying you on social media, you know, it's a sliding scale based on how attracted you are to them. Because I have met people like Cheyenne Jackson, for example. If he tried to sniff my butthole in a Ralph's, nothing about me would find that weird. I would just be thrilled.
I've always said that, you know, that back when we could go to gay bars, back when someone would grab my ass, that your response would be, hey, oh, hey. It could go either way, right?
Correct. So it's one of those things.
Did anybody come in with that belly button commercial?
Yes, Jonathan Tinkerton posted it as a YouTube link, but like we can't click the link.
Okay, but so it does exist. So you're not just making shit up again.
Not this time.
Okay. All right. Okay, so onward we...
Oh, wait, we got the answer. It was a Levi's commercial, but it was the Levi's low-rise jeans, I think.
Oh, okay. So you thought it was Nair.
Whatever. It was still talking about.
We thought it was about hairy belly buttons, but it was about low-rise jeans, but still. So, okay, we got more news about...
You're welcome.
You're about this story?
Yeah.
I know. Emerson, you must like comb and go, Dale has to have a pastor story. I knew Erica. I knew if I put it out there, Erica, I'm getting an email from her right now with the link. She's my go-to research. Christopher Keys has been arrested and charged with solicitation of sodomy for attempting to hire a male prostitute. Unfortunately for Keys, his hoped for night with Hooker costs more than he anticipated. Now here's the deal. Christopher Key is a youth pastor. He's married. And what happened was he got, you know, he thought he was hooking up with a male prostitute. But when he got to the hotel, I don't think it was a hotel. I think it was a motel. He was robbed by two masked men. And so he opened the door expecting to find his male prostitute. And a masked man walked into the room, forced him onto the bed at gunpoint. When he left to go to his pastor's truck, I love the way in the story they go, his pastor's truck. Like it had First Baptist.
This isn't a they, this is me.
You're right. Oh, the pastor's truck. I thought you said his pastor's truck. I got a little confused. So to take his wallet, another man came in to keep him from fleeing. The police were called and he did tell them the truth. He admitted that he was married and told officers that he liked to play around.
Hold on. You skipped it, so I'm going to reinsert it. A hotel employee pointed out that he is a frequent visitor.
Did I skip a line? That's why it didn't make sense. You know, you need these. These fonts are very small, Emerson. I'm going to have to start increasing them for my...
You know what's amazing about Word? Up at the top, there's a little thing that says font and size.
I'm going to give everybody my Venmo account, just mine. No, and I'm not splitting it.
This story took longer than almost all the others combined to arrange and order in a way that would provide a good narrative for you to deliver.
Watch this. I'm going to pout now.
Great, okay. I'll finish.
It takes a lot more than that to offend me. Okay, so here's what he had planned. He did tell the truth, but then he planned on telling his family that he was kidnapped. And then he told a friend that he was carjacked and kidnapped by two black men who robbed him and took him to the hotel. As the story spread, someone posted it on social media and it went viral to the local community. And of course, everybody was appalled that this pastor was kidnapped. But then he did not think this through, because the police report is public record. A local TV station wondered how they could have missed the police report for a kidnapping. And after investigating, they confirmed that the whole story was fake and got the actual story from the cops. I think I read that he also got fired. Keys has now been arrested and he's been charged with solicitation of sodomy. Now, let's be clear. Sodomy is not against the law. What do we know what state this is?
No.
I can't remember. But whatever state it was, it pointed out in the story that sodomy was not against the law. But of course, the solicitation of a prostitute is.
Well, and so this ties, that's why I saved that other topic to here. Because here's the thing. It's funny that a youth pastor got arrested at a hotel he goes to all the time for his male prostitutes. And that he, rather than telling people, he said he got kidnapped. But is that this man chose to say he was kidnapped by two black men? He added that to the story. Like, the racism pops out regularly. And this ties to a thing I thought this would get shoehorned nicely in. I'm sure many of you have seen the video of Central Park Karen. Amy Cooper, the woman who had her dog off its leash in the Ramble, and a 57-year-old man who's a bird watcher in the area, told her, "You're not allowed to have your dog off the leash here. It's protected for wildlife. You can go walk your dog up across that other road." And she said, "It's dangerous." He said, "You're not going to like what I'm going to do then." And he carries dog treats in his pocket to demonstrate this to people, like, you know, that I can get your dog to come to me. And she yelled at him, "I'm going to call the police and tell them that a black man is attacking me, an African-American man," she said, "in the park." And then she does. She called 911. And it was terrifying to watch, not because we don't all know racism is real and that it exists, but to watch the extreme nature of what she did with her voice, telling 911 that she was being attacked by an African-American man in Central Park who was clearly far from her, who not only that had told her, "Please don't come closer to me." So she was the one aggressing towards him. She's since lost her job, but it's also come out that, you know, she's rather, quote, liberal. There are certainly people on the left who like to pretend like racism is only a problem on the right, and it's just as problematic. You can have plenty of liberal people with racist tendencies, and that she abused her status as a white woman in a very sort of Emmett Till way to claim violence by this African-American birdwatcher.
Who you pointed out to me that he was gay.
Yeah, one of the LGBTQ news sites we get stories from said he was gay. But also that, like, if this man didn't have this video on and that call had just gone through and the police had shown up expecting to find a violent African-American man and been prepared for that, you know, it's the same thing as this pastor in this story. White people using the police, not only as a defense mechanism, but to exacerbate it with racism, escalates it even further.
And then, of course, there was another horrible incident today. We won't go into that. It's not on we did the stories before, but another, a black man murdered by a cop. So, all right.
Do y'all have any, cause like, you know, we only got 5 minutes left. Do y'all have anything you want us to talk about? My next story bored me, when I looked at it again. Do y'all have anything on your minds? Anything you want to know? Anything you want to chat about? As we get to the end of the show, I love Victor said, "Bird watchers are not to be messed with. I should know, I live with one." I do love that he was a bird watcher, and you know, he cares about the dogs because the dogs off the leashes scare away the birds. And he goes there specifically to see them. Now, the Ramble is also that part of the park that used to be notorious for homosexual activity.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I had heard that. I mean, I did meet somebody to hook up once from Central Park, but it wasn't in the Ramble. It was just like in the middle of the sidewalk.
Where'd you go?
Back to his apartment. It was so exciting. I was in college and I was not yet out of the closet. And I was visiting my dad in New York when he was working there. And so I just went to the park because I had free time, watching people and doing things. And this rollerblader came by and he was so cute. And I smiled, scared, and he smiled and came back and talked to me. He was in Les Mis on Broadway. My favorite show of all time. And that was so exciting to my 21-year-old, not yet a professional performer self. And I sure did go right back to his apartment and have sex with him. It was very exciting. Oh, it was very fulfilling.
I've never heard that story.
I know, it's not what I've told really.
I've known you since 2005. I had to Google today what year we met because someone asked that question. How many items are there in the auction? Oh, I think there's like a good 20 at least. And then there's a secondary auction that's going to be on eBay. We're just waiting for all the, it's really hard with eBay and PayPal and everything with a nonprofit to get everything in order. But we'll have everything will be up hopefully before the live stream. But there's a lot of great items, and you know how we are. The moment it goes up, we will blast it out. And we sent someone said I would watch Emerson in a gay porn flick. Well,
I mean, my ass has been out in every project we produced for television or film.
That is true. That is true. So May the 31st, y'all, that while we're waiting for anything else to, if you want to ask us anything, y'all, please set your alarms or tell them how to do that, Emerson, on Facebook and where they can just click a button. I just saw that.
There are, for the broadcast, for the Sorted live stream on Sunday, if you go to my YouTube channel, the where it will be live on YouTube is there. You click the post and you can set a reminder and it'll notify you when the broadcast goes live. And now the Facebook link for that on Dell's Facebook page is also live. So if you go to his page, the top post, you click set a reminder and it'll notify you when we are going live. I was checking. Victor is still the lone tipper for today. So he's holding the fort down for everybody.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Victor. Allison asks, are you going to be able to keep Leslie from chatting the whole time on Sunday? Well, we think we are. Here's the deal with me and Leslie. I have some shit on him. So anytime I need, I say, okay, Leslie, got to stick to the script this time. Can't have you meandering because I'm going to tell. That is so not true. There is nothing that Leslie has done in his life that he will not tell anybody. So
it is the best way to not have to worry about people spilling your secrets is just to tell them yourself.
Yeah, he's never been, it's like every now and then when he first discovered social media, I don't know if you remember those early Facebook posts, it was like, whoa, yeah. I would call, I said, Leslie, you got to take that down. You can't tell, you know, 70,000 people just read that. Now it's like five.
Well, at least, and the way I feel is at least save it for a forum where you're getting paid, you know, save it for a Netflix special or for a tour. Don't just tell it for free on the Facebook.
So, I noticed Leslie Kimball just said she's sharing it all over the place. Thank y'all so much because we need to share it far and wide. Leslie works in theater like us, and theater is in peril right now. So we have to help our small theaters and our large theaters. I mean, we want to keep entertainment alive and well. I just saw today, Emerson, did you see that they were saying that they're really looking to open Broadway back up in January. So that's how far away it is. That's like 7 months away.
Yep.
We get any Broadway.
And that will affect the rest of the theaters all over the country. So we will each keep doing our piece and we'll keep doing this to entertain all of you. This is good. Speaking of closeted pastors, I have two friends who have worked as organists at two different churches. Each of them has been propositioned by the married pastors at their churches. Those pastors are freaks, I'm telling you. I mean, a lot of homosexual choir boys.
It's, you know, and it's there's always, for me, there's always, because of course we both grew up in the church and we came out of that darkness and there, but it doesn't just excite me it makes me sad that people are living like that, you know?
Yes, what a lovely dark note to end on.
Well.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in. If you do enjoy the broadcast, please do tip a dollar or two. It makes us feel good. On Venmo at Emerson Collins, on PayPal, beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com. And we'll see you on Friday.
We'll see you on Friday. Yes. So
our final show before the Sorted live stream.
And then and I'll be on my Facebook tonight at 7 o'clock. I do my little Sorted bedtime stories. So see y'all out there. Stay safe, y'all.
Bye, y'all.